Blog Talk Radio.
The Spirit of God is in this place. The Spirit of God is strong in this place. I feel His anointing strong here. If you might have been expecting something, just open your spirit to receive. Whether you are watching us through the networks, open your spirit to receive. This song is entitled Holy Spirit.
You guide me,
Lord.
Holy
of God, seeking a fresh wind of God. Understanding the operation of the Spirit is essential for those who are going to shake up territory. So now we're talking about territories, and we have to know who is reigning in territories and regions. And they are going to be the ones that are going to put forth their energy towards us. It is certain that the Python will show up, recognizing its evil plot, empower us to overcome. So we're not caught by surprise. We now know what that is going to look like, what it's going to feel like, what it's going to focus on. This Python spirit comes into families to put them under a heavy squeeze. Remember that the snake that squeezes the life out. And it also brings us to a point where the flow, the fresh flow of heaven becomes, I love it, this author in the next couple of chapters, or chapter, this chapter and this next chapter, he uses this term, stalls out. And I think it's important if we understand what stall out means. So this is not the snake that bites you and you die, or bites you and you're done. This is a slow, it's a slow stalling out. It is squeezing out the life. It brings lifelessness. It brings depression. It brings the kind of a mindset that gives up because it cannot breathe this life breath from God. We need to fight for this fresh oil. We need to understand what the battle looks like, and we need to understand that the enemy, the Python, is going to come against prayer. This spiritual wants to kill prayer lives. It knows that prayer is the one of the most potent weapons in our arsenal. It doesn't mind if people go through the motions of religion and services with no spiritual power, but when they begin to hunger for intimate communication with God, the demons get nervous. And so I think we saw that actually in our worship service Sunday. It wasn't, as they say, business as usual, but as we came, we didn't exactly know where we were going, but we did know that we wanted to worship. We did know that we wanted to praise God. And as long as we continued to do that, continued to forge through in gratitude to God, we receive the grace of God, which is the empowerment to receive heaven's agenda for us, heaven's nourishment, heaven's ministry to our spirit. And as we bathe in the presence of God, the enemy was shaken. And so we know that breaking the Python grip is something that the Holy Spirit will guide us into doing, which is the importance of us understanding the ministry of the Holy Spirit, looking for it, seeking him, waiting on him, and obeying him. The gift of discernment of spirit comes from the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Discerning of spirit, it empowers the believer to see the spirit motivating a person or situation. So what it does is you see beyond that person. We're no longer enemies to one another. There's a scripture that we were given this week, last Sunday, in Thessalonians, and it tells us how to act towards one another. It gives us some task to do. It gives us the mindset that we should have. If somebody could get that scripture, I believe it was out of the either the Message or the Voice, and share it, because it is a powerful tool for us to focus on how this warfare should go. We have been leveling it towards individuals, and as a result, we're tearing our own body apart. We are frustrating one another. We are allowing the Python spirit to deceive us into thinking it's people, and it is not people. It is the spirit of the Python. And so to understand that gives us our weapon of warfare, of victory. As you know, the weapon of warfare, but it will give us our victory. During the operation of the spirit of discernment, how many times have you encountered a situation or a circumstance or even a person, and you just felt something, and you weren't quite sure what it was, and you just kind of ignored it. You ignored it, but it never really fully went away. And so there are areas in our lives that the Holy Spirit is giving us the discernment of the spirit. When the young lady was following Paul around, and she was saying a good thing, and yet the ministry of the Holy Spirit in Paul's life was such that he got that discernment of the spirit that others around him couldn't see. So unless the Holy Spirit gives you discernment, others will not be able to see it. So often we get frustrated with other people, but we have to understand, without the ministry of the Holy Spirit in full operation in their life and being acknowledged in their life, they can't see it. They cannot see the enemy. They will be deceived. And the enemy knows this, because one of the strategies of the Python is to wait, is to linger and in the dark, hiding and just watching and hiding and watching for an entry way to be revealed in the life of the individual that has this fire and this desire for this new way of God in their life. And so as the enemy watches and sees, then he slithers to not surprise them, but just slowly give them opposition. Slowly give them opposition. And as we read, every time we encounter resistance, it takes a great deal of energy and strength to go beyond what is resisting us. And yet, the author shares some insight that we all knew about. And that is the key to the freedom from this existence. Resistance is worship, praise, and faith. Worship, praise, and faith. So when we realize that the Holy Spirit is trying to give us discernment over individual, as he did for Paul, and Paul understood the heart of that young lady, and so he was able to counter the attack of the enemy on his life, and he was on his way to prayer. And so as he was distracted by this constant noise. It had a truth to it, but it was not of God. And he would have no way of knowing had it not been for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So it's a dangerous thing for us to try to navigate our spiritual walk without the ministry of the Holy Spirit, without acknowledging it, without understanding it, knowing it, respecting it, loving it, obeying it, embracing it, and then becoming that thing, not becoming that thing, but receiving the empowerment that the anointing of the Holy Spirit has placed in us, in the gifts that he's given us, so that we can edify the body of Christ, so that we can then build up one another. According to that, I think it was 1 Thessalonians. I hope somebody finds that scripture. And so we can read it, because it gives us understanding of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, what he is revealing to us, so that that's the eyes of our understanding are being enlightened. We no longer see a person, but we see the Spirit that is in operation against us in this ministry walk. So as we see this characteristic of this Python is one that is he's patiently waiting. This is one of the things that we have the Word of God. It says, "I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work of those who turn aside. It shall not have part of me," from Psalms 101:3. And so we are seeing here, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. And so we need to just unpack that, as our apostle shares with us, because of the fact that, you know, a wicked thing before our eyes, what does that look like? Identify the activity or the involvement that things around us have that are a wicked thing that is before our eyes. Because remember, this Python is watching. He's watching in the dark. He's slithering around, and he's looking for a way. And so if we are engaged in our eye gate with something that is wicked, or our ear gate, as it was with Apostle Paul, that she was saying a good thing, but he wasn't rejoicing in what she was saying because he was discerning why she said it. And this is something that we are being prepared for. We are being exposed to, so that we will understand the power that we do have, that this Python spirit hates the life-giving anointing of God and comes to contaminate it, diminish it, and quench that anointing. It is haunting every person who is moving in the spirit. It is on the prowl, looking for fiery places of revival with the intent of shutting down the move of God. It is actively searching the earth for ministries that are moving in the spirit. It will release plans to stall out the move of God. I like the use of those two words, to stall it out, because if you ever had a car that you tried to start and it stalled, it didn't start, but it did something, but it didn't do what you needed it to do. And so you would wait a while, and then you would try again. You would try the things that you knew to try to get it going. Does it have enough gas? Do I need to check my battery? You know, and those, am I stuck in a rut, in a hole? And that's how he wants us to view this attack of the enemy, to get discernment from the Holy Spirit. What is this? Where is it coming from? And what is heaven's plan for me, because I am an overcomer? It doesn't stop suddenly and die, but it stalls out. It may even go a few more miles, and then it sputters and it starts to display signs of choking. Actually, it starts choking, and that's the same type of warfare that we get when we are are under the attack of the Python spirit. He wants to stall out the move of God. He can't stop it, but he wants to stall it out. And we can stop it if we are not obeying and embracing the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You can see how if you don't know what to do, excuse me, then you will play right into the hands of the enemy, and you'll get frustrated. You'll get tired. It wears out your energy and your strength. You ever wake up in the morning and you're tired than you were when you went to bed? It's like things are lifeless. They have no joy in them because little by little, you're being stalled out. You mean this life is the spiritual life is being squeezed out of you. God gives you this awesome anointing. He gives you this awesome vision and assignment, and you're on fire for him. And you, you are set out to do what God will have you to do, and you you meet resistance everywhere you go. And so the author is sharing to us, as we meet that resistance, whether it's sickness or financial or religious clatter, no matter what it is, because sometimes those that you believe in, those that you look to, are not in line with the ministry of the Holy Spirit for your life in this season. And so as a result, we're torn. It is that life is being squeezed out of us. and I don't want to say who to trust, but what direction to go, because it's a conflict of beliefs. You believed it to be okay, but in this season it is not. What she was saying was okay, but it was what was in her heart that wasn't. And the only way for that to be discerned was the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so the Python spirit will get you to start second-guessing things that heaven clearly and accurately revealed to you in the secret places. Remember, he said, come unto me, draw near to me, and he will share mysteries with us. He will share mysteries with us. There was a actual word that God had given me this week, a phrase that I had sent it to somebody so that I wouldn't forget what it is. Now, naturally, you know, overseeing things like so that I can see what that phrase is. I know that Overseer is on the line. I sent it to her. So if she could come up. Oh, it is intimately, when we draw near to God, that intimately he whispers mysteries. This is how we know the new wind. He will intimately whisper mysteries into our spirit. And so that, you know, sometimes you say, I don't know, what is the next? What is the next? Drawing near to God through the ministry of the Holy Spirit will allow us to hear what heaven is saying. He intimately whispers mysteries into our ear. But this Python spirit will have you second-guessing what God clearly and accurately revealed to you in this secret place, the place of you and he. And he wants to counterfeit everything, so he wants to be the cornerstone of how you go forth. When we know the cornerstone is Jesus Christ, and it tear down any piece comes up in your imagination against the truth, the word of God. He is on assignment. The Python spirit is on assignment to grip our mind and does all that he can to stall out our pursuit of heaven's agenda. You ever run into so much resistance within the body of Christ within the people. We can generally, the resistance of the world, we stand up boldly against. But it's that resistance within the house of God, within the body of Christ, that is devastating to us, because it's based on, just like what that young woman was doing, it's based on a truth. But the spirit behind it is not. And because we don't know that spirit, if we try to just proceed on our own, it will become so frustrating. And that's where bitterness comes in. That's where church hurt comes in, because we're trying to identify something that can only be identified by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And when we receive his identification of it, then the truth of the word of God will tell us how to respond to it. And just as this Psalms 101 says, you know, I'm not going to set no wicked thing before my eyes. And when I read that, I realized how easily setting a wicked thing before your eyes can dilute your purpose. So if I have a purpose and an assignment, and I am engaged in, and I'm just going to go there, you cell phone users, I'm engaged in my cell phone for a good thing. You know, a lot of people go, no, I'm looking up this, I'm this, I'm that, you know, and that's a good thing. But as you do that, wicked things come, and the enemy knows that. He knows you're going to go to the cell phone. He knows you're going to look up stuff, or he knows you're going to go to the television. He knows you're going to look at certain programs, and he'll slip something in. It's like, whoa, what was that for? Well, once it gets in that ear gate, that is a part of the Python's strategy to stall out your pursuit of heaven's agenda. It'll either get your attention, okay, and then you'll follow a rabbit hole. Then you go here, then you go there, you go there, but you will find that you have left the agenda of the Holy Spirit. And it's not that you've done a bad thing, or you're looking at pornography or anything like that. However, yeah, there are things that once they come in your eye gate, then it gets in your mind. And that's where this enemy is going to level his attack. So if your mind is the mind of Christ, because your mind is full of the word of God, because Jesus is, it means that our inner thought life dictates the direction of our outward living. And we may not think, you know, we do think it on the big things, but there's so many little things, even our opinion about things. Sometimes we don't realize that we've become prejudiced in an area, or we have a preference that may not be in line with God or the ministry of the Holy Spirit for this season, because it's not about us at all. It is about God's will and assignment on our life. So anytime we get away from his will and his assignment for our life, anytime our mind goes to something else, the scripture tells us, tear down every thought and imagination that rises up against God. But now what we need to know, what is rising up? The only way to know what's rising up is the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the discernment, the ministry of discernment, the gift of discernment. And then we will understand what is rising up. And so there's so many times we have that unction and that up from the Holy Spirit, and we get it, and we just kind of ignore it, and we keep going on. But the author is sharing with us, don't ignore it. Stop, pray, and fast, and then worship and praise God for his presence and his purpose on your life. And it's when we start doing that, then we start remembering the things that God has done, his faithfulness and his goodness. And this is how our mind gets unstalled. So once we start thinking about his faithfulness and his goodness, we understand that he will do what he has promised he will do, because we've seen it. He's done it. We're a witness to it. We have been a witness to those telling about it. We have acknowledge what we see, not just in scripture, but in living, the word being lived out loud through the lives of the people of God. And so when we see that, when we're guarding our mind with his word, we are unstalling, or not even allowing the enemy to stall our purpose. If you dilute your purpose, and I love it because he didn't say you give it up, you just dilute it. Well, I'm supposed to do this, but I'll just do it this way. I'll do it. That's leaning to your own understanding. Don't do it, because it's diluting it. And if it dilutes your purpose, then it's going to hinder your anointing, because your anointing is attached to your purpose. And so if you're not fulfilling your purpose, then you're going to live a mediocre spiritual life with your anointing. You're not going to get the full power of the anointing on your life released in the earth realm. It's stalled. It's sputtering. It's going down the freeway, inch at a time, stopping, you know, and blowing off steam, going some more, stopping, and blowing off steam. That's being stalled. Every time it's going to stop, in that stop, make it a praise break. Make it a time of worship. Make it a prayer time to honor God on your life and in your life and with what he wants to do with your life. We are to be intentional about guarding our thought lives. We cannot and must not allow every negative thought to take room in our imagination. And one of the things that happens, it says, using 1 Peter 1 and 13, therefore guard your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So now we see there's a grace on its way to us. And the only way it's going to get to us is as we get revelation, and that's the enlightened eyes from the Holy Spirit about Jesus Christ. And that's the only way to guard our mind and to be sober. I love this, be sober, because we say don't be drunk. But don't be consumed with those things that pleases the world. And it's like, well, no, I'm not running after the pleasures of the world. No, but don't be taken by those things that are attractive. And as a result, build preferences in our life that can often stall out our purpose, because we interject something in there that is not God, but it is flesh. Our imaginations are creative engines of who we are. When our imaginations are not protected, we begin to see, dream, and declare destruction. How many times have you heard a person in the span of an hour speak negative about themselves? I heard somebody say, you prophesying your negative prophecies upon your own self. You know, I just can't do this. Or this just ain't going to never work right. Every time. So now you prophesize what's going to happen. That is not your job. Your job is to receive the prophecy of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the adjustment of heaven on your life for this moment, not just this day, but this moment. And so we have to guard. We must be sober and hope to the end for grace. So that means hope to the end. They'll never give up. Do not give up. So when hope would fail, then praise. When hope would fail, then worship. Because God is always God. He will always be God. And he will always be worthy of all the worship. And we know this because we say this. We've read it. We've taught it. We've sang it. However, to be sober about it and to hope for the end, and that means that no matter what, I see the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit for my life through the grace of understanding how Jesus Christ lived a sinless life, died and rose again, and is now at the right of Father. There's a scripture that says, my inheritance is one of sanctification. And so understanding the grace that is brought to me through the revelation of Jesus Christ will get me to understand that I have an inheritance of sanctification. That means being separated and pulled apart from everything else and made different and new, made new based on my new blood that's running through it, on and in and around my life, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. And so understanding that hope, and that it is, we hope it to the end. Actually, there is no end, hallelujah, of a hope, because Jesus Christ, when the Holy Spirit shares some things with us, then brings to us, we'll understand the revelation of Jesus Christ is that he's eternal. If he's eternal and he is our hope is eternal. And there should not be a moment that we let go of that truth. We hold on to it by worshiping God for his eternalness, praising God for his faithfulness to us, and having faith in God, knowing he will do what he says he will do. And so this is how we guard our mind. This is how we're sober, and this is how we have this eternal hope to the end. So to the end of this trial, to the end of, for Job, for the end of that season, you know, of sickness, that season of financial devastation, you know, that season of emotional turmoil, to the end. The hope is to the end for the grace. And that grace, is, you know, we know it's that unmerited favor of God, but the grace is the anointing power that brings us to an understanding through the ministry of the Holy Spirit of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And once we understand this, as I'll say we understand this, we look at the cross quite differently. The Lord shared where there's a difference between bondage and sacrifice. And so there are some that feel, you know, that the enemy wants to put us into this spiritual bondage. A bondage of fear, a bondage of the grip of the python, of deception, and wants to bind us by the nuances of our culture and cause us to question and lament and just squeeze out this spiritual power that's given to us in those times of closeness with God. And so we have to see that God is revealing to us a place of stability so that we're not waving with the wind, going to the left, going to the right. Like, nope, I know he's coming. I know he's going to do this and he's going to do that. And he's gonna, now I don't know how. I don't know what it looks like. But I trust what he's going to do. I have found him to be trustworthy. So we want to guard our lives. We cannot and we must not allow every negative thought to take root in our imagination. And that root only takes a moment. It just takes a moment. And when that happens, we're tearing down continuously. But just let us be vigilant and tearing it down. Every time it comes up, we can tear it down. When we are not, when our imaginations are not protected, we begin to see, dream, and declare destruction. The aim of a spiritual attack is to get people to bound in confusion and fear that they prophesy their own defeat. And so if you hear yourself or those around you engaging in this, don't bring condemnation, but bring revelation to them. Share it in such a way that they can embrace it and understand it. We have to be patient and gentle. Did anybody find that verse from me? In the voice.
Overseer, what was the scripture?
I don't. That's why I wonder. It tells us prophet released it. First Thessalonians. And he released this Sunday of what we, the way we're to treat one another.
The way to speak to one another.
Treat one another for ministry appreciation.
Oh, okay.
Okay, we're going to get it. We're going to get it. And I had it in my phone. Because I wanted to read it every morning, because it keeps you focused on this is how it is. This is the way it's supposed to be, and it helps us to view each other very, very differently, and on a consistent basis. We're doing it because it's ministry appreciation. I understand that. However, consistent basis. If we do this, this is when they will work such a love through those in those four walls and labors for Christ that people will run there just to experience the atmosphere of love. They truly, truly. Did you get it for me?
I think it's Matthew 7:12. Hold on. From the voice.
Okay. Thessalonians 5:12, the voice. I believe that, hold on, you need the phone.
I'm trying to still pull it up, my phone.
Marnette is going to read. And, you know, like when he gave it, this is our prophetic word of the month. It's the word of God. Message. He just texted. Oh, he said the message. Praise the Lord.
Now, friends, we ask that you honor those leaders who work so hard for you, who have been given the responsibility of urging and guiding you along in your obedience. Overwhelm them with appreciation and love. Get along among yourselves, each of you doing your part. Our counsel is that you warn the freeloaders to get a move on it. Gently encourage the strangers and reach out for the exhausted, pulling them to their feet. Be patient with each person, attentive to the individual needs, and be careful that when you get on each other's nerves, you don't snap at one another. Look for the best in each other and always do your best to bring it out. That is 1 Thessalonians 5:12-15, the message.
Amen. Amen. And in doing that with one another, then the grip of the python cannot settle.
Mm-hmm.
It can't hold us. It can't get a grip. It won't get a grip. We have to not allow it to get a grip. We must realize that is the pollution what it is, where it comes from, and then we understand that the gift of heaven is part of our, what do you call it? inheritance, and it has all the power that we need. The python spirit overwhelms its prey with a barrage of negative thoughts. It attempts to pollute the creative flow with damaging negativity. And that is so important. Amen. Thank you, over there. I'm going to just stop here at the python pollute in our lesson for today, because I don't want to go, we want to look at all of the parts. So we need to look at the parts for that the Lord showed you and gave you insight into as you were studying, starting to study this seventh chapter, and give you opportunity to speak, as well as Elder Deborah, who was going to bring insight from the screw tape letter into a view of the demonic world during all of this interaction we're having. Okay. Okay, everybody don't speak in one down, but speak, speak, speak.
Good morning, Overseer. I had read chapter 8. I wasn't sure where we were, but as I had stated before, you know, this chapter is packed with so much information about this particular spirit. And you never really give thought, even though you encounter all of these things, you never really, I can't speak for nobody, let me speak for myself. I never really give thought, you know, have given thought to this particular or thought given to that was the name, that it had a name, you know, when you encounter these situations.
Mm-hmm.
So it really causes you to say, I got to really be more watchful in what you see, hear, feel, sense, speak, you know, and just be mindful of the leading and urging of Holy Spirit in your life. And I think because we are such busy people every day, because I would often say, wow, I wonder how, you know, the people during Jesus' time, disciples' time, you know, they had, and then even some years ago when I speak about, you know, our pioneers of Wigglesworth and all of those people that Smith Wigglesworth and those that came along and they were so powerful, you know, how they, you can see that, you know, there was no television, there was nothing taking their attention away.
Mm-hmm.
From their prayer time, their study, Bible study time and stuff. We have so much distraction now, and you really have to resist the temptation of these things, because like you say, sometimes you go to look for one thing and then other stuff start popping up and they take you all off on another avenue.
Yep.
So, this very is very interesting. It's been very interesting to me and very mind spiritual provoking. I can say, and even in moving forward in the next chapter, I was talking with someone and I was reading some things to them to let them know, because I was telling them, stop murmuring. And then I read some of the stuff to them. And it's over almost 30 things, you know.
Yeah.
I said, wow, you know.
Yeah.
And I was reading to them, and they said, oh, I've got to stop that now, bring it to their attention. You know, the word says the words of our mouth forms our world. So we have to be careful what we're speaking out of our mouths. We got to become more conscious of what we're saying and how we're saying it, because we're forming our world. And to be content in the state that we're in, we could be in a worser state, and to just thank God for keeping our minds and our, you know, our spirits, and even for protecting our land. You know, we look at everything that's going around in the world and what's taking place, but we've got to become more grateful and thankful to God for what he has done, what he is doing, and what he is going to do. Just like this writer said, begin to thank him, you know, and repent for, you know, if we haven't thanked him as we should, or haven't acknowledged to him the things that he has done and what he is doing, then just begin to repent to him. I was telling the Lord, you know, sometimes I said, I can't remember, you know, where your word is found. I want to be able to remember, call it forth. And, you know, just asking for forgiveness, and to help me to retain the information that, you know, I'm being given, that I'm reading, that Apostle is bringing forth. And, you know, I just thank him for what he is doing, and having a little trouble really understanding, or maybe I should say grasping, the whole thing of prophetic. So
okay.
Even though I, you know, I saw it in the word prophetic, but just wrapping my mind around the whole picture. But in constantly reading it, you know, and asking God to help me to understand it and to take it all in, you know, that I can see a little better. You know, and I think that's what we have to do constantly, to rely and lean on him to even give us the understanding to retain it. Because our mind, asking him to let that mind, which is in Christ Jesus, be also in us. But, you know, like you said, we often get distracted so easily by the enemy and don't even realize it, that we've gotten distracted, or it's him, that spirit of distraction from what we're doing, or what we're searching for, what have you. And like you say, so he just slides in so easily and take us off our direction that we was going in. So we just have to become more sensitive. Or let me talk about me. Because I'm not sure what other people is. More sensitive to this spirit. Because this is something. This is truly something. And like you say, you know, just come and squeezing to squeeze the life out of you, to squeeze the anointing God has on you, to blind you to what God has given you and endowed you with, to try to cause you or put you on another avenue. Just so deceitful, I can't think of the word, but this is a powerful chapter, and
amen.
If it hasn't provoked, it should.
Absolutely.
Yes, ma'am.
Good insight. And as you were speaking, I realized I had started a thought as it related to bondage and sacrifice. And I never finished it when I got distracted. But the fact that the enemy wants to put us in bondage and so that we become subject to what he wants. And so often it's easy to, we think it's easy, or it's more difficult to fight bondage. However, it was like the difference between bondage and sacrifice. So I can get chained up to the negative of a cell phone or television or movies or radio or whatever it is. You can get on that rabbit hole and you can go down it. But the sacrifice is not doing it because you choose to do something different. So the difference between doing it because you can't not do it and not doing it because you choose not to do it allows us to understand that in sacrifice, we sit in the seat with Christ, next to Christ. He sacrificed. The cross looked like they had bound him up and crucified him. But he clearly says he sacrificed his life. And so as we face the enemy, we have to face them from the position of sacrifice, which is where Christ sits. And so when we understand that we're facing the enemy in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, then we're facing the enemy in victory. So when you just follow, as they say, follow the money, if you follow the path, you will see that it leads to sure victory. And so not bondage where there's a struggle and there's this painfulness and all of that, whereas Christ says, he counted it all joy. You go, what kind of joy was that? Well, that's the joy from sacrifice. That is not obviously the joy. Most of our pain comes from our bondage because we allowed it to tie us up. But if we sacrifice to separate, to allow ourselves to be sanctified and separated from what the enemy thinks he can do to our life, then we're in victory. We stand in victory because we choose to sacrifice and be seated with Christ in heavenly places. So I did want to follow that thought.
I was also, while you were talking, that when he was talking about prayer, most of us do spend a lot of time praying, and the question came to mind, but how much time do we spend listening
Amen.
To, you know, do we take the time to, I was going to have it in class next week. Do we take, how much time do we take to listen, you know, listening to Holy Spirit, seeing what he has to say.
Amen.
Because we have a lot to say.
Yes.
You know, we have a lot to say in prayer, you know. And this, you know, it's to myself as well. We have a lot to say in prayer. Am I listening? Do I just come and say, okay, Holy Spirit, I'm listening to you today.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
I have this petition that I have before you in these prayers, but I want to hear what you have to say to me today.
Yeah.
So.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, that class next week, what? Give us some information so we can tune in.
I always forget the exact time. I don't know why I can't remember. Let me see.
Okay.
The intercessory class will be this Tuesday coming up. And it is 8 p.m. Central Standard Time on Zoom.
Okay.
And it is every third Tuesday of the month.
Amen. And you're teaching on?
This week I will be teaching on the different prayers.
Okay. Amen. So we want to support and give a listen on Tuesday, every third Tuesday. And if you need that Zoom account number, just text me on my phone and I'll text it back to you. And they've been doing this for a while. I get to listen because the overseer, Marnette, be on there too. And so because the development of our prayer life is of utmost importance now, and we're seeing that in this warfare, and it's the importance of it in the warfare. So we definitely want to embrace every aspect of it, because there is a gem there for us. Ammunition. So thank you so much, Elder Roberta. We appreciate you. Anybody else?
Just got so much out of this today. Things that popped up that I, you know, revelation and truth. And so thank God.
Okay.
The belief
Amen.
In his word. Right.
Amen. Well, we look forward to listening to you next Wednesday. Transitional Truth, 7 o'clock on spiritual growth and development online LFC on Zoom. So we have quite a few of the laborers laboring for the harvest and strengthening the laborers and edifying the body. And so we thank God for that. I thank God for your presence and your participation and your support, your love. I thank God for the journey that he has us on together, for this is our Friday Fellowship of Learners. I'm your host, Overseer Paulette. Have a blessed weekend. We are having a strategy meeting tomorrow at 10 o'clock for the November experience. So you definitely want to be a part of that, which is being birthed out of the Wednesday Wellness Wednesday, which is the transformational truth. So you guys are actually preparing the strategy for the experience. So praise the Lord. When the body, what it say, teamwork makes the dream work. And it definitely gets the ministry flowing. So we do thank God for you. And enjoy your anniversary, Elder Deborah's Church, 75 years. So
thank you.
Y'all were born when I was born.
Oh, wow.
That's all.
Can you text or whatever the number is for the meeting? I forgot which one. I mean, I have all the numbers in my phone. I just don't know which one to call for the Saturday meeting. So, over to Marnette, if you can text it, please.
Yeah.
For tomorrow.
Yes, ma'am. I'll get it to you this morning.
Thank you, my dear.
Yep. Anybody else need that strategy meeting number? Going once, going twice. Okay. So I'm sure you'll be there anyway. All right, then praise the Lord. All right. Yeah. Enjoy. And if there's an announcement that you have and want to share with our Friday Fellowship of Learners, we can have announcements too. So it's up to you. Amen.
Amen.
Elder Roberta, do you have our prayer?
No, ma'am.
Okay.
I didn't write it.
No problem. So you know what? We'll just read the one that's in the book together. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
On page 124.
142. Oh, you're on 124?
No.
I'm on 142.
Oh, no. Sorry.
Elder, you're an overachiever. You a chapter ahead of us.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Okay, 142.
You say 124.
142.
142. 142. Okay, I'm looking at 6.
Uh-huh, after the
I'm
podcast.
Behind. You be ahead. Mm-hmm. We're going to get it together.
No, that's okay.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Lord.
Are we all reading it? Or mm-hmm. Elder, are
you reading it? We're going to read it together. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
You ready?
Okay. Thank you. Okay.
Thank
one,
you, Lord.
Two. Thank you, Lord.
That we're free from all the power.
Power of the enemy.
Show me areas of my life.
Or ministry. Where I have allowed any demonic influence.
Show me
if I am compromised
in any area.
Walk in purity and holiness.
Help me walk in purity and holiness.
Yes.
I decree that I will fulfill the purpose for which I was created.
And will not be stopped or hindered by the spirit of Python. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
You guys have a great weekend. And
yeah,
you too. You all
his
as well.
Boy tomorrow. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
In the...